Good evening and welcome to the Business of Government Hour, Conversation with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour focuses on outstanding government executives who are changing the way government does business. Our special guest tonight is Tom Ferguson, Director of the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. Welcome, Tom.
Thanks, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's start by finding out about the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. Could you tell us about it?
Sure. The Bureau is basically the government security printer. We produce printed security products. The most notable and obviously the most recognized is United States currency. We also print postage stamps and other security documents such as IDs, invitations to the White House, and other high-quality printed material.
What drew you to a career in public service?
I'd love to have an altruistic answer to that, but when I graduated from college, I took the Federal Service Entrance Exam, did well on standardized tests, was offered a job at the Bureau, came here with an idea to get some experience and then moved back out into the private sector after a year or two. But I found a home. It was an interesting career, a very interesting place to work, fascinating people, fascinating products, and I've been there ever since.
You think it would still be a good entry-level career for a young person now?
I think the government is a fascinating place to work for people out there who are looking to actually make a difference, to have a lot more authority and a lot more impact in areas than quite often in private sector, I believe. That people come into government, the pay may not be quite as good all the time. Sometimes it may be better. But we have an opportunity to do things that affect everyone in the country. We at the Bureau produce a product that, in fact, touches everyone every day, or at least everyone wants to touch it every day, not only in the United States, but literally around the world. Our product is recognized as the world's currency. When we change that currency, it affects everybody. It's a system. So it is an opportunity to have an impact, to do things that when you're in the private sector, you may not. So I strongly recommend the government. I think it's a good place to work.
Could you describe your career for us?
Certainly. I can certainly try. It's been very, very interesting. It certainly was not a field I expected to ever be in. As I tell other people, I've become an expert in a very little field. I know a lot about a very little. But I entered the government at an entry level, GS-5, and they were kind enough to teach me and give me some experience in the security printing world. I started in quality control, moved into supervisory roles, management roles, and ended up running the currency production area, and eventually got into counterfeit deterrence, which is the changing the design of currency, a program that's exposed me to people around the world. I've traveled around the world. It's been fascinating, an area that I really have enjoyed. And as I said, every time I thought about leaving, I got a new assignment, something new to do, some new challenge. So that's been an ever-growing career.
What challenges provide you the best opportunities to develop as a leader?
Several different types of development. I think the first one was, and probably the most eye-opening, was the first time I was a supervisor. When I was just an employee, or was an employee, since they just, but I thought I knew a lot more than I did when I became the supervisor and had to make all those decisions, and which I thought were easy. But supervising people, trying to get others to do work, is much different than actually doing the work. And breaking from doing it yourself because you think you know it better to encouraging, inspiring, providing the resources to others to get it done was a lot to learn and helped me a great deal. I was fortunate to do that early in my career and a low enough level that the mistakes I made weren't too glaring and other people corrected them. I do think it's one of the things, as we've compressed organizations, that's a concern, that quite often people don't get that experience of supervising and managing until they're fairly high in the organization because there's not as many levels. And those mistakes, which are inevitable, are much more glaring. They're harder to cover up. They're harder to be corrected before they become known outside the organization. So I think sometimes we are not providing that opportunity to grow and learn. The other thing that's been extremely helpful to me is in the area of currency design, counterfeit deterrence, is my involvement outside the Bureau, with Congress, with the Department of Treasury officials, Federal Reserve, Secret Service, and international. It has allowed me to focus outside the organization as opposed to just inside, and really has helped my career, helped my perspective, and been a lot of fun.
When you look back at your 26 years of government service, what qualities have you observed as key characteristics of good leadership?
I think two things which are paramount. One is a vision. One is for the leader to be able to provide the employees, the customers, the shareholders in the organization with an image of where they want to go. What is the long-term goal? What will we look like when we get there? What will it look like when we succeed? Once you have a common vision, it's easier for people to understand why the iterative steps have to be taken. It's much more difficult to see the whole picture internally when you're just seeing little pieces if you don't know the ultimate goal. So I think establishing a vision is the biggest thing. The other very, very important thing is communication skills, being able to get that vision out, being able to talk about it, write about it, express it in ways that the various shareholders, stakeholders can understand, can clearly see that picture.
Have these qualities changed over time?
They may have. They probably haven't. Certainly my perception of them has changed as I've gone from one end of the spectrum to the other. Certainly what I've seen, what I think has probably changed the most is in our world now, the need to be much more external, much more externally focused. My view, I think, is correct of the Bureau prior to this, 20 years ago. It was able to be fairly internally focused. We produced a product, but we pretty much controlled all of that. And we didn't have to really focus externally. We didn't have as many issues outside. Now, everything is so integrated. Changing something in currency affects so many different people. You have to be able to integrate all those into the system. You have to be able to identify the issues that beforehand, be able to interact with those people, get their support, build a team, build a network. So I think that what's really changed, and I think this is true with other organizations in the government, not just ours, is that it is more outwardly focused than it used to be.
How about future good leaders and managers? What will you think the top qualities that they'll have?
Well, I guess the vision issue remains as the most for me. I think there's a huge difference, as I've kind of experienced it, between being a manager and being a leader. The managers are managing to get something done that is part of that. The leader has to be the one to set the agenda, has to be creating that vision so everyone knows where to go and the people can manage to, the workers can work to, and everyone knows when they've succeeded. I think that's going to remain. Certainly the leaders and the managers, the government executives of the future are going to be operating in an information technology world, which is probably beyond anything we can comprehend. When I started, I had an adding machine and a telephone. And if I wanted to multiply, I held the plus key down and counted how many times it clicked. And 10 years later, there were PCs, but no one had their own. It was, the computers were held by the information people, and, they might let you come over and play with one, but you couldn't have one because then you would have your own database and your own information. Now everyone has multiple computers. You have your desktop, you may have your laptop. So it's going to be something where they're going to have to operate in some way more than we even can think of and be faster, quicker, smarter, better.
Well, it's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.